Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. This message I'm going to share is not a new message. I shared it about 3 years ago, but I felt appropriate to share it again today because we're always in a place where we need to grow our faith. Faith is something that we always want to allow to grow. You know, faith can grow. Are you aware of that? It's not static. You know, faith can be strong, faith can be weak, faith can be small, faith can be big, and our faith should grow as a mustard seed, meaning that it's something that starts small, but grows, becomes something much bigger. This story today, I'm going to give you a story in a text from Matthew 14. I'm going to call the message today, Walk on Water. Say, Walk on Water. Subtopic is how God increases your faith. And we're going to look at this lesson. And I'm going to give you this lesson in a certain pattern. I'm going to give you four parts of the lesson. There's the lecture, there's a lab, there is learning, and there's a lesson. Next slide, please. All right. There's a lecture, the lab, the learning, and the lesson. And this is important because this text we're going to give you, it truly is a learning experience. It's like going into a class. And classes have lectures, right? Amen? Yeah. All right? But a lecture isn't all a class is. There's also a lab. What's a lab for? Well, you work on what you just heard or learned. And, of course, the lab work brings learning. Learning occurs. We say in education, learning occurs. And, of course, there's a lesson you gain from the whole experience that stays with you. Things you learn don't leave you. When you learn something, it stays with you. So the lecture, the lab, learning, and lesson are all a part of this. Let's go into this now, Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture because we need to do that to get our context. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, there's a deserted place, the hour is late, send the multitudes away that they may go into villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we only have here 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. And he commanded multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets of fragments, full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So about 5,000 men, 15,000 people is a good estimate, minimum. So then the story begins here with the story we are well aware of. And here's part of it. This is going to be, of course, our lecture here. A lecture is an explanation, of course, of what's involved with something that's needing to be understood. And, you know, God sometimes allows need to exist to stretch our faith. And then compassion for other people in need causes our love to manifest. And compassion is what brings the miracles of God on this scene, okay? So then this lecture we're in, this whole class we're in, and they were in back in the day this was written, Jesus is very faithful to teach his disciples what they need to know. You notice that in the text, the Bible says that he ministered to the people all day, evening had come. But the disciples noticed that all these folk are here, and they're probably getting hungry, and it's getting late. And so they said, Jesus, let's send the folks away that they can go to the villages and eat. So they were aware the folk were probably hungry And their plan was get them out of here before, you know, they get really upset with us or they get hungry and get delirious, you know. But Jesus said, don't send them away. It says, you give them something to eat. And that is a tremendously big, giant, I mean, that's a huge thing to say to your team who's trying to get rid of people. They're trying to get rid of folk, frankly. But Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. They came back, well, Lord, now listen. Let's break it down to you. We only have 5 loaves of bread here and 2 fish. That's the issue right here. So what you said we should do is not feasible. Ain't even possible. So we advise you, Jesus, send them away now before they get hungry and delirious with hunger. I'm making all this part up, you know, embellishing the story. But Jesus said, he didn't argue, he said, bring them here to me. Bring the 5 loaves and 2 fish, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And now he's got everybody's attention, you know, like, oh my, what's he going to do with this? Because it's people think they know what Jesus can do. We think we know what Jesus can do. He can do things we haven't seen yet. He's got power. We haven't seen all the power he has, all the ability God has. So we're in the class. It's a lecture. It's a process of learning. And so he said, have the folks sit down on the ground. They were all standing for the, you know, the message and the ministry. Have them all sit down. Sit down, have them all. And I mean, now he said, it wasn't like they had got on the PA and said, okay, everybody take a seat. Everything you see here was much more difficult than it seems. Because to have 15,000 people sit down, just to sit down in some organized fashion, that takes some effort. They're running around, you know, announcing to people, you know, where they can be heard in groups, please have a seat. And they're asking, what's going on here, you know? And they just said, well, take a seat. They're not going to say, well, we're going to feed you. They weren't at that level yet. See, their faith hadn't come to the point of even being able to tell the people what Jesus told them. Right? It's amazing how little faith sometimes we actually have in God. We talk the talk, you know, we talk the talk and say all the right things. But actually, our faith is smaller than it is, than we think it is. So that's why God helps us grow our faith. Well, he sat down, he took the loaves, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5 loaves, not 5 semi-truck trailer size loaves. I'm talking about 5 regular loaves of bread. You got the picture. And he blessed it and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples who gave the multitudes. Now, I wish I could see this with my eye. All it says was he blessed and broke it. But he kept blessing and breaking it. He kept breaking off more. So the miracle, of course, was the miracle of increase, the miracle that as he gave bread, more bread manifested and appeared in the basket or wherever it was, or in his hand. It may have been growing in his hand. I don't know how he did it. But he's handing out, you know, he's breaking off, and so it's multiplying miraculously. And the Bible says, verse 17, that they all ate. Everybody ate and were filled. Not just ate, but got full from that meal. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. 12 baskets. 1 basket for each of the doubting disciples. 12 baskets. 1 for you, 1 for you, 1 for you. Carry these baskets. Carry these baskets. There's more food in the fragments than we started with. Each basket had more fragments than we began with. So as you're picking up the fragments of the miracle and carrying the fragments, just remember, you're the one that said, send the folks away. But that's okay, because the whole point was to stretch their faith. And their faith is being stretched. Imagine walking with a basket of fragments after you just got through seeing Jesus multiply five fish and five loaves, two fish to feed 15,000 people, and you're seeing the miracle and you're carrying the fragments back. You're thinking, oh my God, what did I just see? Shut my mouth. You know, just shut my mouth. Let me trust this man. Let me believe on God. Why did I doubt him? Why did I think he could not help all these people? So then these are all the things we find in this lesson. So, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Now, again, he's fed the people. Now they're fed. They're going home. Now they can leave. So he made them straight away get into the boats. And while he sent multitudes away, so he put the disciples in the boat. Y'all get in the boat. Y'all go across. I will send folks away. So Jesus personally, you know, blessed people. You can go home now. You're full. God bless you. You can go now. He sent them away. And the disciples were in the boats, going to the boats, right? Get the picture. Verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was there alone. So Jesus is now up praying, up to the mountain where he normally goes. He had places of prayer. And he went up by himself to pray. Why do that? It's what he always did. Prayer was Jesus' ministry. Helping people was the outflow of the ministry of prayer. Prayer is what he was all about. He would send people away to be able to pray. Please get the picture. We think it's all about ministering people, doing miracles among people day and night, day and night. No. He ministered to people, and then he went to be with God in prayer. And if it had to, and listen, if they got too long and people lingered too long, he just sent them away. Because for him to be in prayer, to get clear with God, was his priority. Because all his power, all the ability came from his time with God in prayer. Now, of course, he's God himself, but he showed us the example that we need to pray. As the Son of Man, he was our example. So then he says, the text says that he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And he's there alone. Verse 24. Now the scene shifts. It's like a movie, right? We're going to jump cut, all right? From Jesus praying. Verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So the disciples are out there going across this lake and the sea, and the wind's getting up. It's getting tough out there, okay? And so that, get the picture. Jesus sent them out there. You know, he knew they would get out there during his prayer time and it would get rough out. He knew the conditions out there. But the Bible says, verse 25, down in the fourth watch of the night, about 3 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Wow, this whole story, it's amazing. Jesus, all right, he fed the people, sent the disciples to the boats. They took the boats. Jesus had no boat for himself. He had no boat. He sent them on the boats they had access to. But when it came time for him to go, there was no boat. But guess what? Don't need a boat when you're Jesus. And besides that, he wanted to show them something else he could do that they hadn't seen before. They thought they had him figured out. And he ended up blowing their mind up. First he fed them. Then he had fragments. Come on now. The Bible says now there he is walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear, shrieked like little children. Ah, no, not shrieked like little men, okay? So then here is another picture of the disciples and how he is helping them grow their faith. It's amazing. You ever dealt with somebody or something? You thought you understood it until they went to another level. You're like, whoa, where are they going? How did they do that? You didn't see all they could do. I mean, there are people in athletics and in life who just have levels and they can just ratchet up, like people like, you know, MJ, Michael Jordan back in the day. You know, you mess with him, he just, you know, he just go crazy on you. There's some folks who don't even talk. Don't talk to him. Just don't talk no trash. Don't say anything. There are some people and some things you just need to appreciate. You haven't seen all that that person or that situation can do. Just be humble and recognize that, especially with God, God has levels. We have no idea. But we'll have an idea when he challenges our faith. That's why we have challenges of faith. Sometimes difficulties come as an opportunity for us to see what God can do. Well, let's say it was a ghost, but immediately, verse 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." So then we have now this lab. We have the lecture, now we have the lab, okay? Now, the lecture was an explanation. That's very important. But the lab is observation. We have to have the opportunity to see what we are being taught, to see a demonstration. So when Jesus sent them across the lake and knew the lake would be a boisterous wind, on the way over, they would, you know, both, one for one, struggle to get over there. But then he would come to them walking on water, and that would also be a point of challenge for them. All of this is the lab where you discover and you see things you have not seen before that teach you about the potential and reality of those things or the power of God in this case. Now, so from that, here's Peter saying, have no fear, or Christ said, have no fear. Watch this, verse 28. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 14. And Peter answered and said to them, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. There's a little bit of arrogance left in Peter. You know what I'm saying? Now, who else is walking on the water? If it be you, who do you know? Who else do you know could be out there doing that? Come on, man. And so Jesus said, well, come. One word, come. You know, sometimes people just put their foot in their mouth. You know what I'm saying? If that's you, they mean to come. And to Peter's credit, he came. This story you know, but the story is still powerful because this is all, everybody's watching this too. Nobody else said what Peter said. Peter, sit down. Peter, what you talking about, man? Sit down. You know, Peter's like that person, like that chicken my grandma told me about. She had chickens in the backyard, and that chicken that was all the most big time and clucking, and he was dinner that night, you know what I'm saying? The one run up on you, clucking that, his head was coming off. He's on the plate 4 hours later. So Peter's kind of guy, you can start clucking, and he's the one. But thank God for Peter. Thank God for Peter. Peter's helping all of us. Because we're like Peter. We're more like Peter than we care to admit. Challenging God, and God challenges us back. And we get into something, we have to learn a whole new lesson. But that's good for us, isn't it? So the Bible says, this is the lab. It's the lab time. And so Peter had come down out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. This is the learning. So we have the lab, we have the lecture, the lab, and now we're into this learning, which is demonstration time. And so Peter is out there, he's walking the water. He's actually doing it. He's doing it because Jesus said, come. And therefore, really, technically, we always say this, Peter did not walk on water. He walked on the word that said, come. That's very important. Nobody, you can't walk on water. Not physically possible. But you can walk on the word that says, come, that gives you power to do what Jesus said you could come and do. So he's walking on water because he's walking on the word. And he was great. He was walking toward Jesus, had his eyes on Jesus, and everybody's amazed, and he's amazed. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, that's the time. You got a soundtrack, dramatic music playing, you know. It's like sometimes some of these tracks, the music playing is like it stops, slows down. I mean, in other words, like a turntable stops and the music slows down and stops. The whole drama came to an end when Peter looked up and saw the water, saw the winds, that it was boisterous. The text says, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. But when he. Sometimes the but will get you in trouble. The B-U-T, not the other one, okay? Well, that one's too good. But when he saw that, but when he became distracted away from what the word of God, what Jesus had come, as long as he heard and saw Jesus in the word come, he was going. As long as he followed the word come, he was going. He was walking on water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, when he saw the conditions, and it obviously took his eyes off Jesus, his mind off the word come, he began to sink. That's the learning, right? And so beginning to sink, he was close enough where he could say, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand and saved him. He didn't sink, didn't go down into the water. So that he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Like I always tell you in this lesson, this part of the thing, you think he would have said, Peter, man, that was a tremendous attempt you made. That was awesome. And you almost came all the way over here. You almost made it. Jesus don't go for almost. I mean, he wants us to go all the way. There's no reason why Peter should have gone part of the way and sank. Almost reached him and sank. Jesus expected him to come all the way. He expects us to trust him all the way through. He doesn't condemn us for coming up short, but he expects us to trust him, because coming up short was only a matter of not trusting Jesus. Coming up short was not a matter of Peter's lack of ability. He had no ability anyway to walk on water, right? So why would he commend them for coming part of the way when the whole thing was a miracle, when the whole thing was a lesson in trusting God? And so Peter then, of course, was saved by Jesus, pulled him back up, and then said to him, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Well, he doubted because he looked away from the power and looked to the circumstances. Now, so then the learning here, there's many lessons here for us. But first of all is this, that, yeah, we have adverse circumstances to deal with. Don't stare at it. Look at it. Know what's happening. Be clear about it. But don't stare at the problems, right? If you got a big nasty bill in front of you, like, you can look at it. You can look closer at it. You can hold it up and lay it down. It's the same nasty bill. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't get better by you looking at it. It makes your mindset worse. Come on, your mindset deteriorates staring at things that you cannot change. You know, you So look at it, know it, but don't stare at it. Don't let the circumstances take your mind off of the faith in God that he has given you, the grace to believe him. And, you know, don't have any reservations about what Jesus can do. Because if he said, come, if he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water, Jesus said, come. That's all there is to that. Sometimes, you know, we make things too complicated. I'll give you an example of that in computing terms. Now, this is something called analog, something called digital. Now, analog is a whole series of things, of variables, a lot of different things in here, a lot of different points, you know, of data. But digital is basically binary, meaning two, one, zero, on, off. And the way that things are digital work, this iPad, I mean, it's a GPS, everything come down to binary, it's either on or off. But it's a whole series of signals that translate into a meaning. My point is this, that we should be more digital with God. On or off. We need to reduce all the choices in front of us. Take all the, we got like 50 options about decision. Well, what should I do? What should I do? I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. Pick two, choose one. I mean, I'm telling you the truth, that it's important to reduce that. I remember when I did design work years ago, I would labor over colors, because there's 16.7 million colors in a palette. 16.7 million colors. I got to decide on two or three. I'm like, what should I do? What should I do? 16.7 million. Pick two. Choose, pick three. Pick four. Choose two. Pick, you know, in other words, just narrow it down. And you learn in life, I learned, we all learn one way or another, to reduce the options, right? All right, child misbehaves. What are my options? Ignore it, right? Time out, spanking, kill him. Well, you know, no, you can't do all the options. So you take out, you take away right away what's not even possible. Killing, ignoring. Come on, somebody. Just remove right away what's not going to be happening over here. And get right down, you know, what's going to happen. You know, spank, time out, you know what I'm saying? So, see, so in life, we give ourselves too many options. And now we're struggling with all these options we created for ourselves. So when Jesus said to Peter, you know, Peter said, Jesus, let me come on the water. Jesus said, come. Just come. He didn't say how to come, didn't say how to walk, didn't say how many steps, didn't say how what kind of a stride you need, you know, just come. And when Peter kept it simple, he could walk on water. I suggest that today, if we keep it simple with the word of God, we can walk on water too. In our circumstances, walk on water. Amen, somebody? Amen. I've learned to keep things simple as possible. Now, you can't just make everything super simple, but I'm saying that when it comes to options and choices, we should be digital and not analog. We need to narrow it down so we have less to work with, less stress, or even less decision points, and our faith works better. Your faith needs, faith actually needs. Faith is substance of things hoped for. So what is the hope? What is the hope? What is the hope? What is it? Because you need that for your faith to focus on. Amen? Amen? Amen. So that's the lesson. That was part of the learning stage, right? All this is happening. Peter's learning. Disciples learning. And Jesus designed the whole day from the feeding of people, this experience, crossing the sea. This was all a part of Jesus' plan for them. Now let's talk about the lesson takeaways, what we get out of all of this that God had taught them, that Christ had taught them. Let's go back to the text. So it says again in verse 31, Jesus saved him. Verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Y'all didn't know that before? Come on, somebody. Well, they knew, maybe. It could be. You know, it's a possibility, you know. Oh, now we know. And see, that's what God's about. He's about us helping us develop our faith where we get past feeling, we get past wondering about it and thinking it might be, until we just know. We just know. We just know you are the Son of God. You are who you said you are, and you can do more than I realize that you can do. So they got back in the boat. Didn't say, but how did he get back to the boat? Did he carry him? Did Jesus carry Peter? I doubt it. They probably both walked back to the boat, right? I mean, once you're with Jesus, you forget just walking. Now they both walking on water. Back to the boat. Amen? And Peter ain't thinking about the boisterous wind. Not now. He just got saved by Jesus, right? He just see Jesus. Like, I mean, if I was Peter, I'd be staring at Jesus like, I'm like, who is this? He's, you know, I can't look away from him now. He just saved me. I'm just staring at him like, thinking, what did I just experience here? What just happened? Why did I doubt? I won't doubt again. You know, self-talk. I mean, to walk back to the boat was an interesting situation. Amen. The walk back to the boat was a time of reflection, of learning, of the lessons being instilled. You know, when God bless you and you come up into a place of receiving something from God and you're experiencing the blessing of God, you know, you reflect on that, don't you? I reflect on what things God has done. I reflect a lot on what God has done because I mean, this whole thing with paying off the mortgage. I reflect on that because it's just amazing to me that God helped us do that. I reflect on that. I look at Jesus and say, Lord, why did I ever doubt you? Why have I doubted you on anything? Doubts come. Like Lester Sumrall said, feed your faith and starve your doubts. Yeah, starve your doubt. All right, finally, again, the lessons here. So the lessons are as follows. First of all, you too can walk on water. You can learn and gain confidence from the blessings and miracles that God has worked in your life. First thing, you can learn and gain. You can gain confidence. Peter gained confidence, didn't he? Everybody in the boat, everybody who didn't, those who saw Peter and Jesus, they gain confidence. So people, listen, you gain confidence and people around you gain confidence. They get confidence in God from you. You help people have more confidence in God. It's good, isn't it? Number two, that you can take the challenge to do the seemingly impossible, like feeding 15,000 people, walking on water, that you can take the challenge to do the impossible, the seemingly impossible. Next is, you can give to God everything he requires and receive everything you need in return. Amen. Just give to God what he asks for, and you get in return everything you need. It's a good deal, isn't it? Because all we have basically is five fish and two loaves. I mean, five loaves, two fish. That's all we ever have. Maybe, well, okay, I got 10 loaves. I got 16 fish. That still is nothing compared to what God can do. We never have enough. Like we talked to you last time, there's resources which are limited, and there's God's source, God as source who is unlimited. We don't never mistake our resources for our source. Our jobs are not our source. Or even our jobs are our resource. God is our source. Next point here, again, lessons, the application of all this learning, is that you can rise above the storms of life and your fear of storms. Yeah. Remember, my friend Pastor Bumpus, who, by the way, God's healing him. He had his last treatment. And he did put out a newsletter that did say, I didn't say it, but he said that he had cancer on the tonsil. what he had. I didn't share that until now, but, you know, he shared it, so I'm sharing it publicly. But that all the treatments are done, and the thing is almost gone. He's healed in Jesus' name, amen? But Pastor Bumpus, early in his ministry, did not fly. He drove everywhere. Didn't like flying, was afraid of flying. Wouldn't ever say he was afraid, but didn't, you know, if you don't ever fly, you're afraid. He didn't say it later on he was afraid of. Just, you know what I'm saying? You're afraid of something. A man of faith, at least you don't talk about stuff. We're gonna catch a flight. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. I can't get there till I gotta drive. I'm not flying. And so he didn't fly anyway. He drove to Florida and Texas, all these meetings. But then, the Lord challenged him about that. So he began to fly. He fly all the time now, no problem. I mean, you have to rise above your storm and not fear the storm. Amen? Say, I'll rise above the storms and have no fear of storms. Amen. Next, you can get out of your little boat of comfort and complacency to do something extraordinary for God. Get out of your little boat. We all got little boats we're in, and our boats are comfortable. We got a man cave in the boat. I got a popcorn machine, my TV. All my little comforts are in my little boat. But sometimes God will snatch you up out of your boat because he needs you to do something that your environment is not suited to handle. And God is very good about making us uncomfortable. Amen. Not for uncomfort's sake, but for the sake of his will being done and getting you from point A to point B in his plan, which, like Pastor the Valley of Baca, all right, Valley of Tears, you got to talk about that, but you make it a spring. Dig wells, make it work. And so the Lord is a part of our faith being stretched. We have to leave comfort zones, that term we know very well. But it's very real. We all have comfort zones. I got comfort zones. I'm aware of my comfort zones. But I'm prepared to leave a comfort zone to do God's will. And complacency is a word that means we kind of settle into a pattern, kind of settle into a state of just being okay with and tolerating things, just going along with stuff because we don't want to do anything different. But the Lord is not, that's not how we serve God. We don't serve God being comfortable or complacent all the time. Extraordinary works for God require extraordinary efforts. Sometimes he physically put us in places, to do things that just have to be done. Praise God, we just do it, And listen, y'all, it isn't like we don't understand. We do that for our jobs. We've done it for our family. We do anything for our families. Anything, to earn a living. So it's not like we don't understand, but for somehow we just don't put God in the same place that somehow God is supposed to make it easy for us. Sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't. Next, you can overcome the doubts of others. That's a big one. Because sometimes the people who are close to you don't understand what you're doing. You can't explain it fully. And so there's going to be doubt. And not unreasonable doubt, just a doubt you'd expect from somebody who can't see the whole picture. When I used to do paintings, like oil painting back years and years ago, you begin oil paint, you lay a foundation, and if anybody sees the thing before it's done, they don't know what's going on. So I learned, don't show them anything before it's ready to see, because people just don't understand, why? It's a big old dark spot over there. Well, that's going to be a mountain, next week, So just keep folks away if you see they can't appreciate process. Now, if folks understand process, let them in. They'll encourage you, okay? But if folks don't understand how the process works, they're going to commentate on your process, not knowing your process, that then, just keep them out of that. Because there are people who will appreciate the process. Talking about, man, that's a wonderful dark spot. It's coming together, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's happening, but it's going to be good. You need that. But in the midst of the situation, they understand that you must overcome the doubts without being mean about it, mad about it. You know, don't worry about it. Folk just don't understand that they don't know what they don't know. But listen, y'all, if folk don't know what they don't know, they should be quiet. But people are not quiet. They go in the store and say, "Hey, do you have XYZ? Yeah, what it look like?" They haven't seen it. They just can't say no. They can't say, "I don't understand." And so it's okay. You understand that overcoming doubts is a part of your life process. Next is, you can take Jesus at his word when he says, "Come." Suspend your fear, activate your faith. Suspend it. How do that? Just like you know, you get suspended on stuff. Just turn it off, you know. I mean, just suspend the fear. What is fear? Fear is the expectation of danger and harm. What is faith? The expectation of good. So fear and faith are very close in terms of passion, but the direction is opposite, right? So then let's suspend expectations of danger and harm. I'm not saying suspend realism or suspend reality, but why stare at something that you cannot change? Amen, somebody? Hallelujah. You know, I was in California and traveling. I was doing a tourism thing. And I go off on these roads, you know, just to see what's over there. And I did that before I had GPS. I had maps. Now I got GPS. I feel confident in going anywhere, you know. Except you find out that we leave cell phone range. GPS doesn't work like it's supposed to work. So I was off in some hill trying to, well, actually GPS, well, it was. The GPS, somehow the destination got changed. And I was going a different way. I wasn't going where I thought I was going. But I was following directions to the wrong place. There's a message there somewhere too, amen. I had to preach somehow. Anyway, but I wound up on a road. This road was freshly paved. It was as wide as 1.5 cars. 2 cars couldn't pass on this road going opposite directions. It had no railings, no shoulder. It was a road and it dropped in a ravine. And there was nothing else, like there was no way out. There was nothing. I mean, if your tire dropped off the road, the inertia would pull the whole car down the ravine. Now I'm driving this road. I mean, it's not the first time, I've seen it before. But I'm on a curve too, you're on a curve. See, so I'm on a curve. So my mind flashed back to Maui, where I was on a road like that, and I had to drive backwards because somebody was coming forward. I had to drive backwards. So my thing was, "Lord, let me make this turn so I'm not the one got to go backwards," you know. My point is this, is that I had to suspend the fear. I became afraid and nervous about that. And I thought, you know what? Here's the deal right here. If I stay on the road, everything will be fine. So I'm not even thinking about, I stopped focusing on the scenarios, somebody coming the other way, you know, whatever, and just drove the road. It wasn't even a big crisis. I didn't react openly. Nobody saw me, but I wasn't reacting to it or crying out. My mind was racing. I was back in Maui. My mind's in Maui, 12 years ago. Like, come on, man. Suspend that and just drive the road in front of you. And it wasn't but another mile or less than a mile around that thing. I was back to the regular road. I thought, how did I get over here? And I wound up back on a real road. Like, what in the world did I go through? Well, that's part of what, you know, curiosity killed the cat. I didn't get killed, praise God. But that's what explorers, you know, I get into that kind of stuff sometimes. And actually, all that makes me, I'm wired that way. I'm going to keep doing stuff like that because that's how I find out the very good. I found a spot in the elevation. I found a spot and got a picture, like amazing picture. I mean, so you know, some things you can't experience without taking the risk. Amen? All right, so here's the last point. If you can believe all of this you've just read and all you've learned today in the lecture and the lab, in the learning and the lesson, if you can believe all of this, you will go to a higher place of worship. You'll go to a higher place in the power of God. I mean, you name it. If you can follow whatever lesson Jesus has given to you, then you end up saying what the disciple, what Peter said, Lord, you are the Son of God. Truly meaning not that you were not before, but now I see you clearer. Truly, for me, truly, you are the Son of God. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to come to a place where you become like Abraham became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he could perform. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us today in this